Nobody said it'd be easy raising young'uns. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. I don't read anywhere where the Bible calls us to be our children's best friends. We're supposed to raise our kids. Amen. And you grandparents that, you know, maybe you have responsibility. That's our job first and foremost, is to raise our kids in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. So that way, when we stand in judgment, we can say that we did everything that we could to make sure that they were right with God. Romans chapter 7. We'll start with verse 7. Says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Dear God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, for your love and for your mercy and for your grace. We're thankful, Lord, that you let us gather in your house this morning, dear God. And Father, we just pray that we would be found in your will and in your service this morning, dear God. We pray that you would help us, dear Lord, to rightly divide your word of truth. Lord, we pray that your word would go out, that it would find a lodging place in each and every heart, dear God, and our brothers and sisters would be edified and lifted up and better prepared to go out and spread the gospel for you, Lord. And Lord, we pray if there's any here this morning, Lord, within the sound of our voice that are lost and undone, that, Lord, you would call them this morning, dear God. Father, we pray that you would make it known to them, Lord, that their sin separates them from you, Lord, but that you love them and that you don't want to be separated from them, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that they would see that you gave the best that you had, Lord, in your only begotten Son to pay the debt of sin that they owed, Lord, that they could be right with you, dear God. And we pray before they leave here this morning that they would call upon you while you're near and seek you while you may be found. Lord, we just pray that you would get us out of the way. Lord, pray that your will would be done this morning, dear God. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Got to thinking about sin this morning, and I don't think that we look at sin now the way that we should. I don't. I think that we look at a lot of sin, and I think that we look at it and say, oh, it's not that bad. I can just repent of it. Now, hey, the Bible says over in 1 John, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, then we have an advocate through the Father, which is Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sin, and not for our sin only, but the sin for the entire world, or for the whole world. And yes, Jesus Christ stands at the right hand of God, and he makes intercession for us to forgive our sin. But you know what? That sin that we committed was enough to separate us from God. So why would we still continue in sin? The Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. People will tell you, oh, when you get saved, just go do what you want. God's made you right, and you can go do whatever. That's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said, to him that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. No, God didn't elect for you to be saved. God knew you would be saved. Now, that can get into some deep stuff right there. Hey, before God ever formed this world, he knew one day that I would be saved. Before God ever laid the foundation of this world, he knew that you would be saved. That doesn't mean that God forced you to be saved. God just knew what decision that you would make. And there's a lot of these people say, oh, the Bible calls us elect. That means God just made us say, God picked me to be saved and picked these people to go to hell. That ain't righteous. That's not just. And that's not the way God did it. You have a choice. That's what Joshua said. Choose you this day. Right? Said, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, and if you're here this morning and you're lost, then that's what you're telling God, that it seems evil to me to serve you. Dear Lord, what are you thinking? That it would seem evil to you to serve. I'm going to tell you this. You don't have anybody in this world that loves you as much as God does. You don't. My kids, as much as I love them, as much as I love my children, I can't come close to the love that God has for my kids. And God has that same love for you this morning, right? The Bible says, for he hath commended his love to us, right? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You want to know how much God loves you, or you want to know that God loves you? God gave his son to die for you. I ain't giving mine to die for any of you in here, right? I say that a lot. There's not one of my children sitting back on that pew that I would give to die for any person in this church house, me included, but God gave his son to die for you. But I think we look at sin as like, oh, it's a bad thing, but we really don't look at sin the way God looks at sin. Sin is a terrible thing. Do you know that? Lying is a terrible thing. Yeah, I mean, look what separated, look what got Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden. Adam didn't kill nobody. Adam didn't curse. Adam didn't rape Eve. Eve didn't hit Adam over the head with a club. They ate a fruit. Do you get that? Adam and Eve didn't curse God. Adam and Eve didn't disobey God as far as God telling Adam to tend the garden with all the animals and everything. They picked a fruit off a tree and took a bite out of it. And because of that, mankind, you and I, being descendants of Adam, because they took that fruit off the tree and ate of it, we fell in sin. So the next time you think it's okay to lie, okay, oh, well, there's these little sins right here. It doesn't matter. I'll do it real quick and then I'll repent of it. You better be careful. Amen. Right? Because there's certain things that sin does to us that a lot of times we don't realize what sin does. And especially in this world today, we can become desensitized to sin. I've said this before and I ain't backing up on it, okay? If you see some lady post on Facebook or you see some couple post on Facebook, oh, hey, guess what? We bought a house together. We just closed on it. We ain't married yet. And you tell them congratulations, you're out of the will of God. Amen. Hey, you can get mad or not, I don't care. Oh, I can't wait to see your ultrasound pictures. You married? No. Oh, that's okay. No, it ain't okay. Right? Now, we all sin and come short of the glory of God. I ain't saying that like we cast them out of the kingdom. I ain't saying that we treat them like lepers. But we ought not tell people that things are okay when God looks at it like a sin. Right? And if eating that fruit was enough to get Adam and Eve kicked out of the garden, what does God look at some of the rest of these sins that we commit? I say we because we do. Right? What does sin do to us? Number one, sin deceives us. Look what Paul says right here. Look at verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment. Now what Paul is saying right here is, I know that I sinned because God showed me his law, and I know that I knew that I broke God's law. That's what sin is, breaking God's law. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, it did what? It deceived me. See, sin will deceive you. Yes, sir. Satan ain't just going to come. Can I use you as an example? Satan ain't just going to come and just put some hot chick in front of Chris right here and say, man, she's really pretty. You ought to get to know her. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Maybe he'll hire somebody in down there where you work, and maybe you got to work with her, and it starts out that way. Yeah. Right? And then, oh, well, we're just friends. This ain't a true story, okay? I'm using an example here. I want you to understand that. But huh? But see, we think that stuff doesn't happen to us. Right? That just happens to other people we know. Satan doesn't tempt us like that. Be sober, be vigilant. Right? And that's not written to lost people. That's written to save. Be sober, be vigilant, right? Have a clear mind and pressing towards the mark. Not going to the right or not going to the left. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he might be trying to devour Chris just by getting that lady hide in there to see how far that she can make him go. Again, that's not true. I'm using that as an example, okay? So don't leave out of here. Man, I didn't know that, but Jeremy just called Chris Stevens out because that lady that... Do you even work with a lady now? No. I mean, right?
Devil tempts me every day, though.
Hey. Yeah. And you ain't the only one either, brother. Right? We're all tempted in some form or fashion, right? Because that's Satan's job, right? Walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom have put their faith in Jesus Christ, that he can get to go and make, and not make them, but present the choice to him. Hey, you really don't need Jesus. Let me tell you something this morning. You need Jesus more than anything in this life. You need Jesus. Because like I said, everything else in this life is going to melt with a fervent heat. Jesus is going to go with you through eternity. But that sin will deceive you, because we come desensitized, and if the rest of the world doesn't call it a sin, then it must be okay. I don't care if the rest of the world says that it's okay for two men to be married. God says that's an abomination. Amen. It's an abomination for two women to be married, right? Yep. And that is a sin. And you know what else is a sin? Lying. So if you're lying, you're sinning against God. If you covet something that somebody else has, that's a sin against God. And that's as much a sin against God as what homosexuality is, of what raping is. It's all sin. And we need to understand that God hates all sin. Even the little ones. He hates it. Right? And the Bible says that if you commit sin, then you're not a child of God. You say, well, preacher, since I've been saved, I've sinned. That word commit doesn't mean if you sin, then you're no longer a child of God. The Bible says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Okay? Now, we're all going to mess up at some point in time, but that word committeth means to practice sin, right? If you are practicing sin and it doesn't bother you, then the Bible tells me that you are not a child of God. Oh, you're judging me. I ain't judging you. I ain't going to judge you. I'm telling you what the Bible says, and the Bible says that if you're committing sin and you are not reproved or rebuked of the Holy Spirit for it, then you are lost as a ball in high weeds, and you need to come and confess your sin to Jesus Christ that he must save your soul.
Amen.
Now, sin deceives us. Sin separates us. Look at Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. This familiar section of Scripture, quoted quite a bit, but if you didn't know where it was, we're fixing to show you. Behold, is that what it says? Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. You're never going to be anywhere that God can't save you. You're never going to be anywhere that God can't hear you. Don't ever think that if God calls you, that your response should be, oh, I've done too much, God, for you to save me. You haven't done too much. You can't do too much for God to reach down and cleanse you of your sin. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Look what it says in verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he, look at that last phrase, that he will not hear. You see that? I read about a man who was blind over in John chapter 9. And Jesus came along and healed that man. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees got mad about it. And they committed an inquest on this dude, right? They bring him in to the temple and they said, hey, you know what? How did this happen? And this fellow's like, well, look, I'm just going to tell you that I was blind. And all of a sudden, this fellow named Jesus come up to me. If you don't know, that's me and you. If you don't know, that's how God saved each and every one of us, is that we were all were blind at one point in time until Jesus Christ had pity on you and I and came and said, hey, I'll let you see. Hey, come on, pick up your cross and follow me. And that's exactly what Jesus did for this blind man in John chapter 9. And he healed that man of his blindness. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees, oh, who healed you? I don't know who he was. Somebody told me that his name was Jesus. Oh, that guy. Well, how did he heal you? Oh, I don't know. I mean, he spit into some dirt here and he rubbed it on my eyes. And then when I pulled it off, I could see. Well, how old are you? Well, I don't remember how old he was, but he was old enough to be considered a man. So that means he was at least older than 40 years old. And so they keep asking him his stuff. And then they said, well, hold on a minute. And then they got his parents. And then they brought his parents in. Says, hey, has this boy been blind from birth? Yes, sir, he's been blind from birth. Okay, well, how did he get healed? Well, I don't know. It happened to him. Why don't you ask him? Well, we already have, but we're really not getting the answers that we want. And then all of a sudden, they bring this guy back in. And the guy said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. So whereas I know that once I was blind and now I see. And that blind man looked at the Pharisees and Sadducees and he says, now this is a man that God had just healed. He'd probably only been healed for maybe 15, 20 minutes before they jerked him in to the temple there. And this man looks at him and says, they're talking about like whether Jesus is a sinner or not. And this guy goes, well, now look, we know that God doesn't hear sinners' prayers. And that made them mad. Said, who are you to teach us? Right? We need to understand that. God doesn't hear sinners' prayers. Amen. Right? You don't pray your way saved. Did you know that? Well, preacher, I've heard my whole life that I have to pray to be saved. That's not what saves you. What saves you is your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, you know, there's people that come up and they talk to the Lord. You know, they might pour out their heart. But I tell you one thing, they wasn't the altar that I kneeled down to where I got saved. I was sitting straight up and I was driving home and God still had enough grace and mercy to save me. That altar don't save you. Walking an aisle don't save you. Going down to that water don't save you. What saves you is faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And unless you have done that and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then God ain't going to hear you. Let me put it in like how we might be able how we would probably hear this in Wayne County terms. God ain't interested in what you got to say until you get saved. Set on that one. And you know what, Christians? God ain't interested in what you got to say until you get right. Amen. Right? David wrote in Psalms that said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. People think they've been saved for however long, and then once you get to so long being saved that you don't have to repent anymore. Hey, I find I have to repent daily. Amen. Multiple times. Yeah. Amen. These times that I got to repent before I leave the house. And after I drop Luke off at school, I got to repent before I get back to the house. Because some idiot pulls out in front of me. Amen. The pride of some people who say that they've been saved and they don't have to repent anymore. You kidding me? That's a dangerous place to get in right there, is thinking that you don't have to repent. Right? But sin deceives us. Sin separates us. And finally, sin kills us. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Turn over to the 102nd Psalms. I'm just going to go ahead and tell y'all, y'all better get comfortable this morning. The 102nd Psalms. Look at verse 19. It's talking about God. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth. Look what it says in verse 20. To hear the groaning of the prisoner. To loose those that are appointed to death. Lost friend, you're a prisoner this morning. You are a prisoner to sin. You are a prisoner to Satan. But I got good news for you. God knows exactly where you are. God knows you might be embarrassed of all the sin that you've committed. You might be embarrassed for whatever reason. I find that before we all got saved that we were embarrassed about things in our life. But I want you to understand something this morning, that God sees you. God knows the sin that you've committed. God knows the sins that you will commit after you've been saved, which we all have. And God wants to save you anyway. And you are a prisoner from sin, of sin. You are following Satan this morning, and God stands right now considering you an enemy. You are an enemy of God this morning if you're lost. That's truth. But I got good news for you. God doesn't want you to stay an enemy. Because God gave Jesus to take and to save you from your sin. Because that sin is what causes you to die. That's a spiritual death, by the way. Hey, when Adam and Eve, when they fell, okay, death was passed upon all men because all men have sinned. And the Bible says that by one man, sin entered into the world. That's what it says over in Romans chapter 5. That by one man, sin entered into the world. And so death by sin. The wages of sin is death. You wonder why sin is so important and why we need to understand about sin is because sin is what separates you, sin is what deceives you, and sin is what will ultimately destroy you and kill you because God will not let it be where He is. Amen. So what did God do? Oh, praise the Lord. The first thing that God did, He saved us from the penalty of sin. Look what the Bible says. Turn back here. Let me find it. He saves us. Look at what it says in John chapter 8 and verse 51. John chapter 8 and verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now, the Bible says over in Hebrews that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You say, preacher, how can I die but yet never see death? That soul, by the way, the soul is who you are, right? You're not your body. Your soul is what drives your body, okay? This body is going to lay down one of these days. Your soul is going to live forever somewhere. And Jesus said, truly, truly, any man that keepeth my sayings shall never die. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved from death. Death is the penalty for sin. So what God has done through Jesus Christ is He has saved us from death. Y'all missed a good chance to shout right there. You don't have to die. You don't have to face eternal separation from God. You know how you get the feeling good? Like maybe it's in a church service, maybe it's driving down the road, a song comes over the radio, or maybe just God does something for you that you know that what nobody else that could do that for you but God, and that welling up in your heart, and that welling up, and maybe you start crying, and maybe ain't nobody around, but you start shouting, and maybe you just have a church all by yourself. Hey, we are going to have that for an endless age when Jesus Christ comes back. Why? Because Jesus Christ saved us from the power or from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death. Also, what did Jesus Christ save us from? Not only did He save us from the penalty of sin, He saved us from the power of sin. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. You ever run into somebody who claims to be saved, says they're a Christian? Maybe you see them overtaken in a fault, right? And the Bible says if you see your brother overtaken in a fault, that you go to him in the spirit of meekness, right? That's what the Bible says. Like you don't go to him like your son or her, like you're some authority over them. Go, hey, man, I see this, and I want you to know I'm praying for you, and I'd like to help you. And said, if they hear you, you gain a brother. Said, if not, hey, you know what? Just do what Jesus told the disciples. Dust your feet off. Go on to the next one. But you have all these people that will say, yeah, you know, I'm saved, and I know that I do this, and I know that I do that, but I just can't do anything about it. That's just the way I am. No, Jesus saved you from who you are if you're truly been saved.
Amen.
Right? He didn't, no, I mean, you can't use the excuse, oh, that's just who I am, right? Because when Jesus Christ saves you, He makes you a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, right? And so now if you've truly been saved, then sin, not only is the penalty done away, but the sin has no power over you. How do you know that? Look at verse 12 in Romans chapter 6. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, that those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Look what it says in verse 14. For sin, are we there on verse 14? Right? Don't let any Christian tell you that they can't do anything about the sin in their life, because you can. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but you are under grace. Right? Jesus said that the truth shall make you free. Right? It said that any man that I set free is free indeed, and I will raise him up at that last day. You know what you ought to thank God for every day is that sin no longer has power over you. That sin no longer holds a penalty to you. And in that regard, you are free from sin. You are not free to sin. You are free from sin. We all mess up sometimes. We all have weak times in our life. You say, oh, not me, preacher. Yeah. Pride goeth before the destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Okay? If you think that you don't sin. Right? But that sin doesn't have any hold over you, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That sin is automatically taken away when we repent of that sin, and the blood of Jesus washes away all sin. That's how we're free from sin. And because of that, and because we have the Holy Spirit, do you know the Holy Spirit is the only reason that Satan has not wrecked this deal already? Bible says over in 2 Thessalonians that him that letteth will not let until he be taken out of the way. And then that man of perdition will come through. And that's talking about the Antichrist. And the only thing that keeps the Antichrist from coming to the forefront right now is because the Holy Spirit is set back. Nope, there's a few more that we got to get in. There's a few more that are going to answer the call of the Holy Spirit. There's a few more that's going to put their faith in Jesus Christ. And Satan, you can't do anything unless I tell you that you can't. That's the same Holy Spirit that's living in you. So don't stand there and tell God or tell Jesus Christ that you can't do anything about the sin in your life. You can amen it or not, I don't care. Oh, we need to be so loving. We do need to love them, but we need to be truthful with people. It's not okay for you to live in your sin. It's not okay for me to live in sin. And we need to start looking at sin the way God looks at sin. Instead of saying, oh, they can't do anything about it. Yes, you can do something about it. If you're lost here this morning and God calls you, you can do something about it. He saved you from the penalty of sin. He saved you from the power of sin. And then ultimately, one of these days, He's going to save us from the presence of sin. Turn over to Revelation chapter 21. I'm done. Revelation chapter 21. Look at verse 3. It said, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Oh, look at verse 4 here, Christian. Maybe you're going through a hard time. Maybe this life ain't what you thought it would be, and maybe it ain't what you thought it would turn out to be, but there's a better day coming. In verse 4 it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. If you look at everything that Jesus describes to John right there, all of those things are caused by sin. Do you get that? Sin ain't going to be there. Oh, I can't wait for the day. I can't wait for the day. Man, I can't wait for the day to where I'm no longer tempted with sin. I can't wait for the day that I never have to worry about just right in the middle of something, me not even trying, just some God-awful thought running through my mind and me saying, oh, Lord, forgive me. There's going to come a time we're not going to have those thoughts anymore. We're not going to cry. We're not going to be hurt. There's not going to be any more pain. There's not going to be any more sorrow. There's not going to be any more separation. Why? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look over at chapter 21 and verse 27. You say, how do you know, preacher, that when Jesus Christ comes back and when we're called up together to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, how do you know that we won't ever be tempted with sin? Because that city that's coming down that John described, that's where we are going to live. Amen? And look what it says here in verse 27 in chapter 21. And there shall in no wise... Now, Wayne County, that means no way. Okay? There shall in no way enter into it anything. Do you see that? Is God a liar? The Bible says over in Hebrews that God cannot lie. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. One of these days, sin is not even going to be anywhere around. And we will live as safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. Why? Because of anything that we did? Nope. because Jesus Christ, out of His own free will, because God asked Him to, came to this earth. You know that He was rich, but for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might become rich. One day we're going to have a mansion. One day we're going to live in the most beautiful city that you have ever seen in your life, and that won't even touch what we're worried about when we get up there. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I don't know where you stand with the Lord this morning. Maybe you're here and you're lost. Maybe you're here and you've been saved, but you've let sin creep in to your life, and you really didn't think too much of it until God showed you, hey, sin's a big deal and you need to get it taken care of. I don't know where you stand this morning, but if you're not where you need to be, and answer this question truthfully. Answer this question truthfully with the intent of doing something about it if that answer is against what God wants. If you and God had a conversation right now, could you say that you're right with Him? Answer it truthfully. Is there sin in your life that maybe you thought that you could hide? Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Maybe you've thought that you've done a pretty good job of hiding that sin. You haven't hid that sin from God. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you're not hiding from God either. He knows exactly where you are. You say, preacher, what do I have to do? You have to decide in your heart that you want Jesus Christ more than you want the world. That's what it comes down to. Each and every one of us came to that decision who are saved, that we wanted Jesus more than we want the world. And if you feel Him, if you hear Him calling you, then I'm just going to ask that you step out of your seat. I'm going to ask you to come up, and I'm going to ask that you humble yourself before God at this altar and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul. Preacher, I don't know what to say. It's not about what you say. It's about the condition of your heart. And if in your heart you truly want to be saved and you truly have a desire for God to save your soul, then He will. As you stand, as you sing.